Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Fun three-hour program lined up today. Heavy NFL, as you can imagine. We'll get into the wild card numbers, Super Bowl exactas, conference futures, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. It is Black Monday, coaching firings, a lot of them with updated odds that we have, plus Nick Whalen on the program in 30 minutes, his best bets for tonight, and hopefully this weekend in the NFL. Warren Sharp, same thing coming up in 90 minutes. Tear my eye, Pauly, last night around 4:30 Pacific time, as it is every single year, week 18. Bye-bye to the regular season, into the final game. And we ended it with a doozy, and we could talk about that. If that was not like week 18, we could talk about that game for like 6 hours today.
Yep.
It had everything.
Lived up to the hype. The game, the week, double-digit favorites went 6-0 ATS. The Packer game was everything I expected and more, that it was a struggle just to get a first down. And you knew, still it could happen. The Cincinnati Bengals let someone down yet again.
Yeah.
And cost someone a survivor entry. Not one, two defensive touchdowns. At one point in the second half, the Browns only had 45 yards of offense, but they win the game and cost someone over $3 million.
Now, how about this? Every small dog, though, in the 3 to 4.5 point range yesterday, on the week, actually, covered 7-0. Isn't that funny? Small dogs covered. Big dogs had no bite whatsoever in them, not even barking whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So you completely flipped it with that.
Sweetheart teasers, no problem.
They all got there.
That's right.
All got there yesterday, which was a good result. So what do we want to say about John Harbaugh today? Next coach of the New York Giants? Confirmed?
Yeah. I like that. I like that angle. Absolutely. And it's just both teams are infuriating in both organizations. Baltimore finds a way to lose. Horrible luck. Pittsburgh gets every break. I thought that was an egregious holding call that they shouldn't have called on Lamar's last long scramble.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hold the lead. Hamilton gets knocked out. Another guy gets knocked out. Friendly fire. You're down several guys on defense. Pittsburgh couldn't get a first down against Cleveland. They're going up and down the field in the fourth quarter. Boswell misses the extra point and loop from 44 in a tough stadium to kick. Wide right after you get the likely catch. And it's just, for them to be in that situation was absurd. And for them to miss the playoffs, I can't believe it. And this Pittsburgh outfit somehow, some way sneaks in. And they get a Monday night game and they haven't lost a Monday night home game since 1991. Yeah. There's that angle, too.
Yeah, the old man looked good last night. And now he's going to be getting his biggest target back in the playoffs in DK Metcalf.
But the dump-offs, though. I mean, how do you allow it to happen? This the stuff over and over again to Gainwell,
sure,
which is great from props. But it's like, how does this get 8 yards? They couldn't get a first down against Cleveland. How does this stuff work?
Mm-hmm.
They just picked up Thielen. They just picked up MVS. Occasionally mixing a little Freiermuth. You don't have the big fella. You don't have Washington. That you can't allow that if you're Baltimore. You can't.
Well, that was a bad defense this year as well. And we brought on, you know, we had a guest on last Friday, Glenn Clark, who's covered the team. And the last question we asked him was, I really want to put down 10-1 on the Ravens to win the AFC. Is it a good bet or is it a waste of money? He said it's a waste of money because the defense has been no good pretty much this year. Can't rely on the defense.
Well, were they going to beat Houston? I mean, I'm concerned about Houston, though, the way they're playing. And the defense has been struggling here the last couple weeks.
Do you love Houston going to Pittsburgh and just winning the game outright on Monday night? I don't.
Not the way Stroud's playing either. But it's that Tomlin voodoo and that Pittsburgh magic where they just, every year they find a way to do this. Now, they don't win a playoff game. But they find a way to sneak in, and breaks go their way, and they lose to the bad teams and beat the good teams.
I will never. I really have not mocked him as much as other people, meaning before the season, saying there's no way. Like, I've been down on the Steelers a little bit the last couple of years. But, like, honestly, like, nationally speaking, and I think also on the network, no mocking him next year. Mike Tomlin does it every single season. Somehow, some way, they're a winning team every single year, and if they don't make the playoffs, they're pushing for a playoff spot on an annual basis. So no more mocking of that guy. The results don't lie. The process might a little bit. Like, you're always wondering, how the hell did they get here? I'm absolutely in that boat. But the results don't lie. Somehow, some way, he gets it done.
Yep.
And I will say this about Harbaugh, who was a special teams guy. Now, he's been the head coach forever now with the Ravens. But he was a special teams coach before getting this job. How the hell did he decide to have Lamar go backwards and lose a couple of yards to spot the ball with a timeout rather than running Henry to pick up maybe three, four, five, six more yards in that spot.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what they did.
Let him take off and run to dump it off, something there. Yeah.
I'll give you an example.
Absolutely fair.
I bet the Ravens to come back and win the game as soon as Boswell missed the extra point. There was plus money still out there. And then it was so late in the game, I couldn't find it available. Books normally take it down with only like a kick to go. Had I known that he was going to do that, I never would have made the bet. Putting that kid in that spot in a stadium that, as you said, very difficult to kick in.
Got to make it, though.
But it's a horrible decision by that guy.
Well, I mean, I know, but it's 44 yards. You should make it. I mean, what kickers did this year? It was the year of the kicker. No, you got Little hitting from 68, no problem.
Yeah, but I would also say this. Same game, Boswell missed his first extra point in 4 years.
Yeah. Well, it was blocked. It was a jailbreak, but yeah. You got the issues up front, too, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
With the block, absolutely. But the big tickets that cashed on that, Pittsburgh plus 550 to win the division, Baltimore plus 450 to miss the playoffs. It's like the Andrews quote last night that Tirico said. I got goosebumps. I'm looking around. I can't believe all this offensive talent we have in August. But then we could never stay healthy, and we started off 1-5. And then the offense plays great, and the defense lets you down again.
Yeah.
And the defense let you down in the Sunday night game at home against New England when you were up 11 with 12 minutes to play.
Yeah, you know who's on line one? Listening to those complaints, Kyle Shanahan. Playing for the one seed, had more injuries than anybody, especially to star players on offense. Don't want to hear it.
Can't believe it.
Sorry, boys.
No Kansas City, no Baltimore. The Evan Abrams tweet, we mentioned it yesterday on the Tailgate Show. Two teams with 11-plus win totals missed the playoffs, first time since 2000. It's a wild playoff field. Both one seeds have the negative turnover differential. And you have a team that continues to turn it over time and time again with Darnold and Seattle as the one seed in the NFC. And you have four road favorites in this round.
Yeah.
It was an all-time season.
And by the way, here's what happened last night in the fourth quarter overall. They got away from Henry, but I don't blame them because they actually had to throw the ball when it mattered most. Rodgers in the fourth quarter was 11. In the fourth quarter alone, Aaron Rodgers was 11 of 14 for a .133, a touchdown, and a passer rating of 130.1. It was one of the best games he played the entire year. In the fourth quarter alone, Lamar Jackson was the first quarterback in history with two lead-changing 50-yard passing touchdowns in the fourth quarter or overtime of a game. And they still lost. Hat tip there to Doug Clawson with that research and that tweet. Incredible stuff. I mean, the Steelers, you know, when you compare their odds to others in the AFC, it's just kooky enough this year where they could actually be playing in the title game. The AFC title game here. Again, last night, I called, who's the person who came up with Fox in the Box for Harry Kane? Was that Nigel or was that Meatman?
Meatman.
Meatman did.
Yeah.
That's... T.J. Watt is the Harry Kane of the NFL.
That's another thing. Why is the offensive lineman trying to touch the ball?
Mm-hmm.
That's silly stuff that always goes Pittsburgh's way.
That's exactly
right. What are you going to do? You're not going to catch it and run. Just let Lamar take it or let it hit the ground. Don't reach out and try to grab the ball. And it goes right to Watt.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Directly to him.
And the 13-1, no turnover in the game, too, got me. I mean, it's just silly stuff like that where it's always that Tomlin does it again. Baltimore beats themselves. Whether it's playoffs or a big game in January, they do it to themselves again.
Yeah. Now, we're going to spread out a little bit coming up in an hour. We will get into all of the games in the wild card round. We're going to go conference by conference. Is there a bet that you have made already, or is there a wild card number that really jumps off the page to you? There's a game. The more I think about it, I kind of love this team in a matchup.
Carolina plus 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville plus the points. The under in the Bears game. And I lean 3.5, 4 with the Steelers.
Yeah, I would absolutely second that. Steelers plus the points. And the more I think about it, I think Jacksonville is going to take Buffalo out to the woodshed.
Okay.
I think Jacksonville is one of the most complete teams in the NFL. And Buffalo has had major issues the entire year. And I know other people are going to point and say, it's Josh Allen versus Trevor Lawrence. That's fine. I will remind you again, Josh Allen has never won a road game in the playoffs.
What does that mean? Yeah, I know. That's Trevor Lawrence had a great year.
And he's playing incredible, best football of his career.
Yep.
Might not even be close at this point. He did have that one stretch, you know, 3 years ago when they made the playoffs. But Jacksonville's defense is, like, awesome.
Yep.
And who has better weapons? Again, not close. It's clearly Jacksonville's side. And do we think McDermott is a genius?
He has won a road playoff game.
Not so sure about that. And I'll give you this. This is from a good tweet from Mark Potash. And he covers the league for the Chicago Sun-Times. playoff teams that lose their regular season finale are 22-5 in home playoff openers since 2011. You got Carolina. You got Chicago in that spot. I think you got another game, too. I'm blanking on it right now, but you got, I think, three games this weekend where the team lost their regular season finale playing in a home playoff game, 22-5.
Philly's
another one.
Yep.
How about that?
Is LaFleur coaching for his job? That's another good one. And Carolina has a worse point differential than the New York Giants. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Worst point differential for a division champ ever. Outscored by 69 points. And they get to host the Rams. So there's a lot of intriguing games here, how it worked out. It's unfortunate. I think those three AFC games would have been the nuts if Baltimore won and all these teams had a case where they could make a deep run. I also lean to the Patriots Sunday night. Chargers going out in the cold. And Patriots have been automatic in the first halves as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, too, about Buffalo. You pointed that, I mean, they're 4-13 ATS in the first half this year.
Right.
You get off to another slow start, there'll be no coming back against Jacksonville.
I would agree with
that. And the Atlanta Falcons didn't win the division because they lost to the Jets.
Well,
some way with that Jet loss.
You can point to that, and you can also say they got swept and shut out that one game by Carolina. But also, Tampa Bay has nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a disaster for 2.5 months out of
the
season.
No doubt. They were 6-2, absolutely.
All right, we're going to run down the coaches who have been whacked and those who could be on the chopping block. I think this team is making a huge mistake, but it's good for him. He'll find a better organization to work for, I believe. That's coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
As expected, every single year on this day, coaches getting whacked left and right in this sport. Openings now. Well, some of these coaches were fired midseason, but the Giants, obviously, the Titans, the Falcons said adios to Raheem Morris last night. Surprised by that one?
No.
I'm not
back
either.
Back-to-back 8-9 seasons? No. I mean, the fact that you have all this talent and couldn't win the division, that's on him.
The Cleveland Browns fired Kevin Stefanski. The Cardinals got rid of Jonathan Gannon. And out here today in Las Vegas, the Raiders said one and done was enough. 1 year, bye-bye, to Pete Carroll. Now, there are rumblings here. I heard this yesterday afternoon, and it's picking up steam now, that the angle for Brady and Spytek to go after the combo would be Brian Flores as the head coach and Brian Daboll as his offensive coordinator.
That's a home run.
Sign me up.
That's right. Yeah.
I think they'd be great with the number one overall pick.
Should Mendoza be 450? Minus 450? Come on.
I think it's absolutely Billy Bananas, man.
Yes,
I right. really do, but yeah. Who knows?
That is a great combo, though.
Yeah, that
would be a home run if they're able to pull that off.
That is correct. GM openings. They're going to keep McDaniel, by the way, as the head coach in Miami. But they have a new spot open for the GM. Atlanta as well. They cleared house. Joe Shane's going to remain on with the G-men. For the record, 4-13 this year, 22-55-1 overall with a playoff appearance and a win in 4 years. Did take Jackson Dart, however, last year in the draft, and I actually think they had a hell of a draft last year, but the injuries, again, like Cam Scataboo, also with Neighbors getting hurt, he's not a rookie, but some pretty good skill players, and I think they actually have some hope there in New York.
That'll be interesting to see what they do. That's big, because you're right, they have a lot of talent on offense, and get healthy, fix the defense, could be a contender, at least near 500 next year. The worst case scenario, according to my guys in Cleveland, ESPN Cleveland, happened that they kept Barry. It'll be he'll try to get the new head coach, and then Stefanski's gone. But then Barry still stays on, and he has say. And as Haslam said today, the game-winning kick likely saved Barry's job. Haslam thinks they have enough talent that they should have won more games. And then it's who knows what the mess you're walking into with the quarterback situation. Where they're still talking about Deshaun Watson. I mean, if you want that job, you want no part of that. Just take the hit, get rid of him. Worst contract in history, and then decide what you're going to do with the position. But it's just, they're stunned that Barry is still there, and then Stefanski's gone.
I think it's a huge mistake, but it's a Cleveland Browns thing to do. And I would never expect this organization to get it right. And I could not agree more with this tweet. It was in response to the news today. I don't follow this person, but I retweeted it. And I thought it was great. At Sekra, Kevin Stefanski won NFL Coach of the Year twice for wildly overachieving with garbage rosters. Jimmy Haslam stepped up his game and finally gave him offensive talent bad enough where he couldn't overcome it. I would agree with that. And Stefanski, like, he will be the top of most teams' list to actually become their next head coach. But I don't. He doesn't have to sign up and go somewhere like this year. I would wait if I'm him, because I think that a lot of other teams, and when the opening is the right one for him, comes calling, that might be 2-3 years down the road, he'll absolutely be coveted enough to where he could name that job, I think. And I'll give you this, offshore books are posting next coaching odds. So for the Cleveland Browns job in particular, the short shot is Robert Saleh at 5-1. What are we doing with recycled coaches here? He had one shot with the Jets so far, didn't go well at all.
Why couldn't you just go Schwartz and then go find the state-of-the-art offensive coordinator guy you could do? Because their defense was nasty this year. As the guys have been saying many times, if they just had a mediocre offense, they'd be a playoff team.
Right, and I'll say that when you come up with these odds, you're kind of spitballing. But look at the numbers here. Mike McCarthy, 7-1. What? Joe Brady's 8-1. Clint Kubiak's 9-1. You want to get absolutely nuts? Would this not be the most Cleveland Browns thing ever to do? Keep Shedeur Sanders and hire primetime his dad, Dion, 25-1.
Yeah, that's not happening. But
I would hope not. But
Kingsbury, I don't know. It's to find that Ben Johnson. You got to find that hot coordinator, state of the art, and get this like today's NFL. Some creativity and imagination, you know, and some of the nonsense Stefanski was doing, keeping Sanders off the field, running these 2-point plays. Bizarre stuff, tush-push with Fannin from his own 30 against San Francisco. But they need to get a top-notch offensive guy to help in there and do something. Because Stefanski lucked into the whole Flacco fever thing, too, that fell into his lap.
Yeah, I don't know, but he also helped make it work. Because Flacco was terrible with the Colts after he left the Browns.
Well, it was okay. He was good in Cincinnati, though, too. He put up big numbers. But that's... I don't know. It's going to be tough with the Watson situation and what Barry's doing.
I actually hope they hire Deion Sanders as the next coach. They'll get laughed out of that state, but I could actually see it happening. Think about this, by the way. Since they drafted Baker Mayfield and said, no, you're no good, get out of here, you can't
be
a quarterback anymore.
That's another one that Stefanski should have made that work.
Here are your quarterbacks. Watson, Brissett, Flacco, Winston, Sanders, Gabriel, DTR, P.J. Walker, Jeff Driscoll, and Bailey Zappi. Guy won Coach of the Year twice with absolutely horrible rosters. I think he's a really good coach, and I think he's a great candidate, and I think the Browns are just terrible at what they do. Mm-hmm. And nothing's going to change. At least 5 head coaching changes in 16 straight years, you have that. And this will...
God, that's strong.
Oh, right?
Wow. Because everyone thinks they can bring that some... Can we turn it around? Because look what happened this year. We had 6 new playoff teams this year.
That's always going to be a thing as well.
But what are we up to? 43 different quarterbacks going back? They've got to get it right and get somebody that they thought they had with Mayfield, but a guy that can have them in the mix every single year.
Yeah, and I'm looking at all these odds again, and Brian Flores is 9-1 to get the Cardinals job. He's 9-1 to get the Falcons job.
That's a great fit, too.
Atlanta?
Yeah.
And I don't see him listed for the Browns job, but if I'm the Raiders, I would make this happen. If that's a possibility where you can get Flores and Dable as the 1-2 punch, that news needs to break by the end of the week, because Flores is going to be sought after by, you would think, right? The time is over here. The statute of limitations is done with that lawsuit and everything. He'd be head coach again. Awesome year again from the Vikings. And look at how people are going to love to look at what the Vikings played like down the stretch and how the defense was an absolute factor and one of the best in the entire league for the final 5-6 games of the year. And they're going to say, yes, this guy's awesome. We got to make him a head coach again. Then make it happen right now. Like, there's no waiting around. You need to be aggressive here and get it done before another team swoops in and comes up with this idea and does it before you do. Anything else catch your eye? The coaches, Mike LaFleur is the short shot to get the Arizona Cardinals job.
I don't want that job either. That's that situation's a mess as well.
That ties into then who's going to be the next quarterback.
Uh-huh. Where's Murray going to go? Absolutely. This is not a strong list with some of these guys. You're right. Just regurgitating the same guys. Spags, Joseph, Nagy.
Kingsbury.
Yeah. Not good. Doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, and you're not going to win the press conference either.
Yeah.
And with some of these.
Tua Tagovailoa was asked about maybe a new start, and he said, yeah, that would be great. I would love that idea.
Would be dope, he said.
Dope?
Yes. A fresh start would be dope, was the quote. Okay.
How would it look if he went to go play in Arizona?
Uh-huh.
Our buddy Joe Osborne was tweeting about that today. Don't hate it. You're not playing outside anymore. Cold weather games in the AFC East. You're going to be in a dome to help take care of that. You have tons of weapons.
I can't believe what the Jets did. Everyone, you can mock the Browns all you want, and rightfully so. How do you bring Glenn back? First team ever? They've been keeping the stats since 1933. They didn't have an interception.
Yeah.
They forced three turnovers the whole year. He's a defensive guy. They just got blasted, and they set all-time records. And as we said all week, I don't care if you're playing quarterback, just give me Ray Davis. I'll run it up on him with the backup order of Trubisky. And they did, no problem. Trubisky's making it rain out there. And 188-54, they were outscored the last five games. Five games in a row losing by 23-plus points. A record for point differential in December.
It's just...
and they bring the guy back. And as Ian O'Connor said, you ask every single player, coach, scout in the AFC East, would you want the Jets to bring him back? They all would say yes.
Yeah.
That's how bad they were.
No doubt about it. I would completely agree with everything that you just said. And by the way, there's a reason why these teams will never change. The Jets, the Browns, and the Raiders are in the same boat. They have been the Jets had a run for like 2 years.
Yeah, but the Lions were in there too. If you can't hit on the picks, that's another one that you're always stuck in this situation.
Yeah. I did see that with the Raiders winning that game yesterday. They kept the number one overall pick in the draft, but guess what? That also means that they dropped four spots at the top of the second round.
Well, what are you going to do? Someone's got to win the game, and the third-string quarterback was atrocious.
No touchdowns in that game.
Too silly. That's right.
So we had a game that did not have a TD.
Two silly turnovers. And how bad is Oladokun that Bouchel can come in and look like that and at least have a couple scoring drives?
Well, how is Oladokun in the NFL?
Yeah. Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Sign up now. Get every best bet, every host, every guest. The real-time DK and Circa betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video and full show replays, expert picks, props throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today, just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Tennessee Titans talking to Matt Nagy. He's the short shot. Also, Vance Joseph, Spags, like you said, and Lou Anarumo. That's who they want to interview. Got permission to do it. Click around best bets to make in the wild card round. And at peak tonight at the NBA card as well, Nick Whalen's going to join the program here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, let's dive into the wild card round. Coming up this weekend, National Football League, some super tantalizing games. Nick Whalen joins the program now. He is with RotoWire, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Nick, I'll begin with this game, because you live in the state of Wisconsin. Now we get the third meeting this year between the Packers and the Bears. Packers took them apart the first time they played, and it was a miraculous win the way the Bears did it the second time, not that long ago. Packers obviously banged up coming into this match. This number's all over the board. DraftKings has the Bears favored by 1.5. I see FanDuel has Green Bay minus 1.5. Here at Circa, right in the middle, at Pick'em. Overall, your initial thoughts here between the Bears and the Packers?
I think a lot to think about this game, for sure. The stakes are massive for both teams, right? I mean, it's like, on one hand, it's kind of a privilege that we get as objective observers, you know, a divisional game, the third match between these two teams in the postseason. But a win or a loss, whichever team comes out with a loss in this game, it's going to sting double, you know, especially given the season that the Bears have had, you know, given how that second game went between these two teams. And I will say, maybe a little bit dangerous for the state of Wisconsin that they put this game on Saturday night. I will be on watch, that's for sure. That's what you're hoping for, I think, as a Packers fan. But my goodness, good news for the local taverns. Look, guys, I think if you're the Green Bay Packers, you have to be pretty thrilled with how this played out. Now, I will readily acknowledge the vibes are terrible right now in Green Bay. They have injuries all over the place. They've lost four in a row. They let a golden chance at the division slip away, especially now knowing that Chicago lost its last two. And yet at some books, you're opening up as a favorite on the road in a 2-7 game against a team you've already beaten and should have beaten again on the road with a backup quarterback in maybe the weirdest game of the year. So I feel like most teams in this situation where, you know, everything started to unravel for Green Bay in the second half against Denver, most teams like that, you're limping into the playoffs, you have no expectations. And I'll tell you guys, here in the state of Wisconsin, everyone I talk to expects the Green Bay Packers to win this game, not hopes, expects. You know, so I think for the position that Green Bay is in as a 7 seed, again, with all the injuries, with all the bad vibes, to have an imminently winnable game in the 2-7, and then potentially, if you win that game, facing Sam Darnold, which I think is an appealing proposition right now. Look, I don't expect the Packers to make a run. I think that Super Bowl ceiling evaporated the moment Micah Parsons went down. But again, for as bad as the vibes are in Green Bay right now, I think there's some reasonable hope that they could go in and win this game.
Oh, excellent points. It's only the third ever playoff meeting between these two as well. And Johnson livid at their performance yesterday. Shut out through three quarters at home against the Lions.
As
and they
should be.
Yeah, they could be back into the 2 seed. Which was crazy. How about the Jags at home against the Bills? McDermott hasn't won a road playoff game. What if Buffalo turns it over here once or twice? Because the Jags are opportunistic, and they've been great taking away and great in the turnover differential, and they're hot on offense. How do you see it?
Yeah, this is an interesting line. Not a line that I'm surprised by to see the Bills sitting as road favorites. I think if you're Liam Cohen and the Jaguars, this is almost a positive because he has been a master this season, not only at resurrecting this team, but I think generating motivation. And, you know, they're buying in on this small market mantra and nobody believes in us. And now you're at home. You've won 8 games in a row and you're still an underdog to a Bills team that has had significant flaws this entire season. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but I will be disappointed if the Jaguars don't win this game. Usually I'm pretty measured, you know, when it comes to Jacksonville. I expect the worst at all times. You know, the only thing where Buffalo, I think, has a distinct advantage is that quarterback, right? For as well as Trevor Lawrence has played, you, of course, would still rather have Josh Allen in a one-game scenario. But other than that, I mean, I think the Jags are a significantly better defensive team. I think they're comparable offensively at the very least, and the Jags might be a little bit more diverse at this point with how they've played over the last 2 months. That Bills run defense in particular, I think that's where they could be exploited, yep. Right? That's been shaky all year. They've played a fairly soft schedule. You know, they had some teams on that schedule that we thought would be better than they were. So that's a part of it. But this is a team that really just hasn't been tested all that much. You know, they only have 3 wins over playoff teams, and those came against New England in a game they were down 3 scores in the first half, Carolina, and then that weird Pittsburgh game where they didn't do anything in the first half before breaking it open. And you mentioned that Jaguars defense. Yeah, there have been a lot of takeaways. I think this is still one of the most underrated units in the NFL from top to bottom. We never really mentioned Jacksonville in that upper tier. The advanced numbers say this is one of the 6 or 7 best defenses in the NFL. And of course, you're always worried about the Buffalo rushing attack. Jacksonville has not even allowed a 75-yard rusher all season. They played Jonathan Taylor twice. Yeah. They played a relatively difficult schedule. I think this is kind of a bad matchup for the Buffalo Bills. I know money is coming in on Buffalo. Everybody wants to back Josh Allen. I think if I could take off my teal-colored glasses, the Jags are the better team on both sides of the ball.
It's actually scary how much I like them in this game. It freaks me out, to be honest. So is there a future bet that you like right now? Any number that sticks out, maybe to win either conference, a Super Bowl exacta, any of that thing?
I can't get myself to actually bet the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would just be putting too many eggs in that basket. But I do think the Jags at plus 550 to win the AFC is reasonable. You know, Houston to me at plus 550, equally reasonable. I think, you know, they're the only other team that you could say is hotter than the Jags right now. You know, it does feel like there's a little bit less offensive upside with Houston. You know, you do worry about, okay, is there going to be a game where they can't score more than 17 points at some point in the playoffs? And then it's going to be 100% on the defense. So that's what would worry me about the Texans. But again, Houston at plus 550, when you, in any game Houston plays, they will have the best unit in that game with that defense, provided they stay healthy. And I think they got to be thrilled with what happened last night in Pittsburgh, getting the Steelers instead of having to try to slow down Derrick Henry. Even if the Ravens haven't looked like the Ravens this season, like I was totally out on that team. You still don't want to have to play Lamar and Derrick Henry in a one game setting. So I think they have a much softer landing spot to begin these playoffs. And that's something that could propel them going forward. So I'm still looking at Houston plus 550 in the AFC.
All right. Anybody in the NFC?
Do we go down the Eagles?
That's the team I had on my
road
mind
here, guys. I'm looking at the Eagles at 5-1. I'm still holding firm on the Rams. I know that's more difficult to do now than it was 3 weeks ago. I still think LA at full strength is the most well-rounded team in either conference. If you're looking for the value play, though, it's like I can't back Chicago at 10-1. Again, Green Bay, to me, does not have a Super Bowl ceiling. I'm not betting them at 12-1. The Niners defense, to me, I don't know if we can count on that. We'll see if Fred Warner is back. I think the Eagles would be that team. And we'll know right away in the wild card round. Like, how back is this offense? You know, how much stock do we put into what we've seen over the last month? Because we know how exploitable that Niners defense is. And if Philly comes out and goes 3-and-out on their first two possessions, maybe this isn't going to look so great. But I think lost in all this, you know, the second half struggle for the Eagles is the fact that the defense has not fallen off at all. Like, they could still carry that into any game. So a value for me in the NFC, it would have to be Philly, but hard to feel great about it.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Nick Whalen, he's with RotoWire, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Busy schedule tonight in the association. Any player props or any side/totals that you like tonight in the NBA?
Yeah, a few things I'll run through here. We got 8 games in the NBA tonight. Keeping an eye on the status of James Harden for the Clippers. He was downgraded to questionable earlier today. Might be a chance to look at the under 223.5. Clippers, they've been playing better of late. They are almost 10 points per 100 worse when Harden is off the floor. The first meeting between these two teams, Warriors and the Clippers, was a 98-79 game all the way back in October. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on. A few props that I'll give you for tonight. Dyson Daniels, over 12.5 assists plus rebounds against Toronto. Second matchup in 3 nights between these teams. Daniels went for 20-12-5 on Saturday at 16 combined assists plus rebounds in the previous matchup. We won't see Trae Young out there tonight for Atlanta. So we see Dyson Daniels pick up about 3 more assists per 36 without Trae Young on the floor. Looking at Kawhi Leonard, over 2.5 threes tonight in that Clippers game. Been watching way too much Clippers lately, guys. And, you know, just anecdotally, it feels like Kawhi is taking a ton of threes. The numbers back that up. He's up to 7 attempts per game on the year. That's about 2 more than last season. And if you just look at his last 7 games during this nice run for LA, he's taking 9.6 threes per game. So especially if Harden doesn't play tonight, I think we see an over 2.5 for Kawhi. And then we'll go over 1.5 threes for Nikola Vucevic. Bulls taking on the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Celtics, one of the slowest paced teams in the NBA, but they do give up a ton of threes. No Jalen Smith, no Zach Collins. So she should see plenty of minutes tonight for Vucevic.
Very good. You can follow Nick on X. He's at Whalen, but instead of the letter L, use the number 1, W-H-A-1-E-N, and he's with RotoWire. Joins us every single Monday at this time here on the Progressive Guest Line. Great stuff as always, Nick. Good luck tonight and this week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Good job.
Good breakdown.
Only the third ever playoff meeting. They've been around forever. Isn't that hard to believe?
Yeah, I guess the Bears have been without.
Well, the problem is usually one of them's good and the other one's lousy. That happened for so long. Packers were awful in the 80s, and then the Packers were great in the 90s and 2000s. Bears were down forever.
That's right. The Cutler game really sticks out to me still. When Deion Sanders on NFL Network said he tapped out, they want to play in the game. And I think most people agreed with Deion at that point. I think the Packers were up 21-0 in that game, if I recall correctly. Eventually won 21-14, maybe. That's the year that Aaron Rodgers went absolutely scorched. They were the 6th seed. Went scorched earth on everybody in the NFC. He went to Atlanta. They were the 1 seed. They had, I think, was that the year that Ryan was the MVP? Maybe not, but Atlanta was the 1 seed, and they were a machine. And Rodgers was like 31-36 for 360. It just was like, okay, this is my year.
Just when you're feeling good about the Bears, then the stinker happens.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
They didn't even have the ball on offense.
16 rip in the fourth quarter.
Win some, lose some up next. It was staring everybody in the face all year and finished 16-1. Paulie, details next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, we'll recap everything the next 2 days coming up on the program. Let's start with Saturday. Charbonnet first touchdown, 8-1, scoreless quarter, plus 380.
first touchdown, Otten. Kramer did it again, 20-1. His first touchdown of the season.
How about that?
Scoreless quarter plus 280. Tampa wins, they don't cover. Sunday night, Hayward anytime, 10-1. I would come right back with that Monday night. It's only 6-1 now at Caesars, but they love to run that play inside the 2-yard line. Browns money line 4-1. Commanders plus 150. Lions plus 160. Steelers to win the division plus 550. Carolina plus 520. Ravens to miss plus 450. Kansas City plus 310. Cowboys 16-1 overrun first half.
There you go.
Ball of the season. What a job by the Cowboys. Wow.
We talked about that, I think, every week for the last, month and a half of the season?
Yep. What a job. Every game goes over but one in the first half. Seahawks, one seed, 25-1. Seahawks division, 5-1. Broncos, one seed, 12-1. Dead heat with the records. This was at MGM. Best record NFC, or excuse me, best record overall. Seattle 50-1, Denver 20-1, New England 50-1. Worst record, Raiders 14-1, Jets 9-1, Titans 10-1, Arizona 60-1.
Oh, wow.
Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, send them in, we'll put you on. Luke, send this one to me. The dog howling, ready to play his favorite game. There you go.
Excited?
He's excited. Good looking puppy. He's ready for find the carrot. Got to catch the carrot. Give it to him. There it is. Hey, nope, can't get it. I wish you got a box concoction here. Trying to grab the carrot and try to take it away from him over and over and over again. Oh, man. Playing tricks on
Carnival games
guy.
At home.
Absolutely. That's creativity. And that poor guy gets a workout. He was howling. He was having a good time. That's tough. Lose some. Saints did it again, Mitch. 2-15 ATS in the first quarter.
How about that?
0-14-3 on the money line. They never led at the end of the first quarter the entire season. Chiefs set a record. They lost 9 times as a favorite. What a way to go out yesterday.
I believe they would have been 14-3 if you flipped every one-score game.
Colts, fifth team to start 8-2 and miss the playoffs.
Losing record.
Is that the first time that's happened?
I believe so, yeah. To be 6 games over 500.
That's
and,
it. Yeah. Jets, first team not to have an interception. 5 losses in a row by 23 plus. Jets, Bills under, 42-38, no good. Bengals, 6.5 up to 10.5. And the over, 43.5 up to 47.5. Bears, 1.5 up to 3.5. Arizona, lost 14 of 15 to end the season. Bad for the books. Oh, man. Rams, 7 up to 14. Vikings, 6.5 up to 14.5. Patriots, 9 up to 14. Look ahead line, the Broncos were 3.5. Then it was 7.5, 8.5 against the Chargers. Then the news that they were sitting Herbert went to 15.5 at some spots. And the under 41.5 down to 37.5. They didn't do anything. If they don't get that pick 6, that thing's interesting.
Yeah.
Trey Lance was terrible.
Yes, he was.
But that could have been 6-3, 9-3 in the fourth quarter. Eagles, Commanders under 42.5 to 38.5. Commanders from 12 down to 3. The Bills from 7 up to 13. Again, double-digit favorites went 6-0 ATS. Not good, Bob, for the books and all the teasers got there. Texas State, 9.5 up to 20. And Navy from 4 up to 7.5. Service Academy's 20-3 ATS run in the Bulls. Bad beats. Vikings win total under. They close with the 5-game winning streak, win 3 times as a dog.
Now, that does depend on when you bet it. I bet it over 8.5 right away. It did move to 9.5, so people who bet under 9.5, that's a winner.
Browns win total under. 2 defensive touchdowns.
Oh, was it total 4.5?
Yeah, in some spots, yes. Will there be a shutout? No, yes, 3-1. What is LaFleur doing there? And it was also an important field goal. It's like that was worse than Carroll. He runs it twice. He calls a timeout with 1 second left and kicks the field goal to lose 16-3.
We all thought the clock originally expired. Oh, by the way, before that drive happened, the Packers, think about this, down 16-0. Were you paying attention to the live in-play?
No.
They were plus 15.5. I saw plus 650.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you figure they're not going to score a touchdown.
Of course.
Why would he kick a field goal?
Why would he?
What was he doing there?
I have no idea, man. Did you see that?
That smirk on his face, too.
I think he's been
there. It's
like
Casino. How can you grin? Huh? How can you grin, LaFleur?
I think he's been there 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And they showed the seeds in Green Bay every time they made the playoffs. With Rodgers, it was the 2 seed, the 1 seed, and the 1 seed.
Yeah.
And since then, I think it's been the 7, the 7, and the 7.
Yeah. Well, bad luck here, too. I don't know. I don't know where to put this. If you had the Texans on a teaser.
Oh, man.
They get the walk-off touchdown with the lateral business to close the game out. Incredible. And I forgot our guy Fairbairn. 6 field goals. 27-3 overrun. Boswell against Fairbairn. Giddy up Monday night.
Well, the juice is going to be like $3 probably on some of those kicking props.
It's only $1.90 last week. 6. Maybe we have to go over 2.5, though, for that plus money. What a season for Fairbairn, who went over every game but one. Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. January isn't about volume. It's about precision. The NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Powered by advanced AI and connected to proven insider sources and locked in on the NFL playoffs, the sharp plays helps identify where the sharp money hits. Before the number disappears, you get free reports, alerts, market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Since 2011, they've backed it up with documentary results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Visit SharpPlays.com.
This was an email from Irving, who sent it to us over the weekend. FTM@VSiN.com is the email. He bet Seattle to get the 1 seed on October 14th.
Ooh.
At 16-1.
All right.
So 6 weeks plus into the season, they were still available at that number.
There was huge numbers on Carolina midway through the season to win the division as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yep. Minus 69-point differential. My God.
Is there a...
Is this the biggest road favorite in NFL history?
For our playoffs? I haven't heard that.
What was Beast Mode? Beastquake? Because
They were a game below 500.
I know. Remember what the spread was?
Oh, the Saints were huge favorites in that
game. Were they more than 10?
Oh, we'll have to look that up.
Yeah. Well,
I don't recall.
This is 10.5. Yeah. And they won that game. They beat Drew Brees and the Saints.
But... Are you a little bit scared here? The Panthers could...
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Well, the luck factor. The Rams haven't been able to stop anything. You know, does Stafford make mistakes? In the first meeting, they were +3 in the turnover battle. They were 3-for-3 on fourth down. Stafford had the pick six, and right now, can they stop anything? Although the Carolina offense doesn't scare you.
No.
How bad they were. If they don't get the 4th and 8 to McMillan, they get 7 lousy points in Tampa.
I think this is going to be a reversal from the first time that we saw it. Just Carolina's not a good football team.
No, they're not.
And the Rams are maybe the best.
That's the thing about where they're power rated. I saw one guy has them power rated 23rd. 23.
Yeah.
That 6 of the 9 losses, they got boat raced. So
I want to go back to what Nick said, Nick Whalen, 20 minutes ago. How much are we going to know about the Eagles 2 drives in against the 49ers?
That's another good point, too, about home field disadvantage. They're going to be all over them again.
Well, if it's not going well.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's the 49ers defense we're talking about here. Yep. And that, think about it this way. The Seahawks, what were we questioning about the Seahawks going into that game? Number one, Sam Darnold. Number two, the lack of a running game.
Uh-huh.
Sam Darnold didn't have to do much because it was all Walker and Charbonnet, and they crushed him on the ground. Well, isn't that like a pretty simple recipe then for the Eagles here in this game? Barkley, in theory, is super well rested.
Could be.
Right? Should offensive player of the year from a year ago. I would think 30 touches in store for him. You don't have to rely on Jalen Hurts having another half of football where he doesn't complete a pass.
They are 9-0 when he's held under 200 yards passing. So, it should just be run Barkley and... good job defensively. Does Purdy turn it over? That's the thing.
They're taking money. I mean, they're up to 4.5-point favorites now in this game.
San Francisco has the worst turnover differential out of the playoff teams, -6.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to take it away, but Purdy's got to be clean.
I felt like the...
I was stunned by that. Seattle manhandled them.
It
gets interesting if they score there. The McCaffrey drop was big. That's resulted in the interception.
Right.
But it was a phenomenal job with the rushing attack and also what they did against to slow down that offense.
I will say that the Niners game against Seattle on Saturday night was very similar to the Chicago-Detroit game yesterday, where every time I looked up, Detroit still had the ball and they were going on a drive, and like the Bears would go 3 and out and never get the ball back ever again in the first half. And that's kind of what the Seahawks-Niners game felt like, because the Niners did nothing on offense right away, and then here's another... long drive with nothing but running plays. We're going to take a lot of clock time off the clock.
Well, I got to give you this, too. I mean, you got to be sound in all three phases. Where's Elliott's head at? Do you trust Elliott? And another one, it's going to be a close game. You have to love Jacksonville. The guy can hit from 70.
I know.
No problem from 68. So the fact that they have that guy in the back pocket and Cohen can play that card,
Oh, no problem. Here you go. Hey, by the way, hit from 65 or give us the lead. Sure, I got it, coach.
Yeah, we'll expand on that coming up next. We're going to weave our way through the AFC and NFC playoffs, wild card matchups, possible second round games, conference futures, numbers we like this weekend. Dogs have crushed it in this round for nearly a decade. Details on that coming up next.